Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from the great city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the weather right now is a balmy 86 degrees with a real feel of 90. My AC is set at 74, but the inside temperature on the thermostat says 80. So, not really good right now, but we are here enjoying a fantastic day. And for those of you that don't know, Podnuts Pro is a show for techs to help them run their businesses. And basically, we want to run our business better, smarter, and faster. And to do that, we have great interviews with great guests, other technicians, vendors in the community that can help us. And that is no different today, where I bring back what could be a fan favorite for 2020, Nancy Sambino of Sambino CompTech. Nancy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's the weather out there?
Oh, it is a whopping 90 degrees in Texas. So it is hot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I go jump in the pool or not? I don't know.
Hey, as long as you have the choice, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's what we love here. So we got the pool in the backyard, and we are less than 4 miles from the beach. So
that's nice.
Very nice.
To have the hot weather throughout the year.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Except so, when it's fall and you want to wear your boots.
Boots? Who wears boots?
I love boots. So I'm waiting for the fall to show up because I really want to wear my boots.
Now, I don't know exactly where Katy, Texas is. I should have looked it up. But are you far enough north in Texas where you can have a season, or are you far enough south where you just wear boots because it's Texas?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're far south. We're right outside of Houston. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we get all the humidity. That's what we get.
I understand completely what that is.
You do.
All right. So for those of you watching live and for the listeners on the audio podcast, Nancy was with us back a few months ago. I believe it was episode, let me grab the number real quick, 292, 2 months ago. And you were on with my good friend, Dawn Sizer.
Yes.
And I decided to have you back by yourself so she wouldn't hog the conversation.
That's not true, Dawn. Don't listen to him.
She'll let us know as soon as she hears this. She will let me know. I wanted to bring you back and, you know, try to do a little more deep dive into your business, because I think some of the things that you are doing are things that other companies would love to hear about. You guys are on track. Like, you guys are killing it. As a matter of fact, you guys, did I read this right? You won another award since you were last on the show?
Yes. We won the Efficiency Award. That's part of the Techie Awards from Kaseya, at their Connect IT event.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
Nice. And if I remember correctly, you actually got a plaque for that, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was incredible. It was beautiful. I hadn't seen one that pretty in a while. So I was like, wow.
Nice. All right. So why don't we just start with the question of what's been going on since besides the award?
Well, lots. Thankfully, this end of the last part of the year, a little bit has been picking up a little bit more than the beginning, or, you know, post COVID. So that's the good part, is feeling like we're not stuck, or business isn't slowing down like it had been. So that's the good part. The bad part now is trying to juggle family, and work and other relationships without losing your mind. Mm. So
are you guys in a situation where the kids might not be going back to school, or you have a choice? What's happening there?
We have a choice. And we chose the first 6 weeks for them to stay home. But we have, our daughter is starting high school, and then our son is starting middle school. So we ran into the issue of them acclimating to new grades, new schools, new workloads. And so we had to make the tough decision to let them go back to school.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that had to be fun for them to not only acclimate to a new school, but to do it during a pandemic. So it's not like they can go and meet everybody the first few days.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a transition regardless. And now to throw COVID on top, it's a definitely a first experience for everybody. I mean, we can't even help them or guide them in that sense, because we're like, I don't know. I didn't have a pandemic when I was growing up, right. So I don't know.
Yeah, there was certainly no option to have a virtual school. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. We would have just been, out of luck.
Right. And you're just a tad bit younger than I am, but we lived in an era where even if we were sick, we went to school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my mom could not stop working. So she was like, you're going to school.
Yep. So,
And I'd be like, well, what if I have a fever? Fake it till you make it, girl.
Fever. Fever's nothing. You had to have blood coming out of something. You had to have a piece of bone sticking out.
You had to be on fire, one of those.
Yeah. So, all right. So last we chatted, I remember that you had been talking about version 2.0 of the business, where you didn't change the name or anything, but completely, refocused the arrow of your business. Mm-hmm. And are you still working on that, or have you kind of moved into a 3.0, or have you fine-tuned stuff? Where are we at with that?
Well, that's a good question. So I feel like at this point in time, we are escalating 2.0. So that's our focus now, is growing what we put in place during the first phases of 2.0. So we're testing things, we're testing our limits, our boundaries, and trying to push things, at least the processes and the systems that we built, to find out what breaks, so that when we get to eventually 3.0, we'll be in a much better place.
Okay. How much of 2.0 was started before COVID, as opposed to trying to work through this stuff during COVID?
Well, 2.0 has been a journey, I would say. So we started the journey about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So we were transitioning the residential break fix and small business break fix to what would be the MSP. And within that amount of time, within the first 2 years, we were working on what model did we want to work under for the MSP. So within that time, we cut off any kind of break fix. And then we then kind of moved everyone we could to a single platform, a single service, an all you can eat model type deal. And then anyone that didn't sign up for that, we had to find them somewhere else to go. And once we did that, then we started to really focus on our systems and processes so that we could make that one platform as efficient as possible. So it's been a journey of the last 4 years, but really the 2.0 aspect has been, I would say within the last 2 years, it's been where we've really been ironing things out.
Okay. So let me ask this question. I'm sure you've been asked this before and have wrestled with this, but how many customers that did not want to transition?
Mm-hmm.
How many customers were customers that you were thinking, can you please transfer? We'd love to keep you. You're a good customer. you pay on time, you know, all that stuff. How many of those good customers did you, you know, cut loose that you didn't want to cut loose?
Oh, a lot. Yeah. So I can tell you the first, both transitions from the residential aspect, we lost 1/3 of our revenue. And then when we let go of all the break fix clients, we lost another 1/3 of our revenue. And so it was definitely a lot. We went from, I would say a list of 1300 businesses that we were working with to 30, you know, like a handful. So it was a huge amount of businesses that did not move over. And then when we moved over to the single platform, that was also another point of transition, and maybe not, right away, but we did lose some after the fact. And it was painful. It was absolutely painful.
Okay. I always like to ask that because it's interesting to see how, you know, some companies claim they're going to be full MSP, but then they get in a position like I am with my company where I'm still a hybrid. I have customers that, you know, been with us 20 years and they are not on a full MSP model. Now I've put them on a sort of MSP model where either I'll bill them quarterly or I bill them a minimum that, you know, look, I got to bill you this. I got to cover the cost because they go in the dashboard regardless, but I may not treat them like a managed service client. So kind of interesting there.
It is. It is. I had decided that, and maybe it's just me and I'm that type of person. I'm going to go all in or nothing. And so that's a little bit of the rationale behind it. But also I felt like we were doing them a disservice, by not, signing them up for that platform. It's almost like, a teaser and then just, you know, working with them at a, well, now I can't help you or that kind of thing. And so that wasn't, what we wanted to do. We wanted to be, and maybe it's just, I'm a little controlling. That could also be it.
Are you now?
I definitely could have something to do with it. It's like, I want to either control your network or I don't want to work with you.
Interesting. Okay. That's another conversation. Now you mentioned all you can eat. So in terms of, I'm assuming when you talked about what model you wanted to follow, I'm assuming that, you know, it was, do you have different plans? Do you have different levels, packages, whatever you call them? You decided to say all you can eat. A lot of companies hate all you can eat. So how are you dealing with that? And, or how are you structuring it so it's not consuming more than it's worth?
Good question. It's all about the margins. We figured out what margins worked, with the clients that we are seeking. So, and that's a part of it, is you have to know your clients very well. They have to be your best friend, ultimately speaking, and not, I'm not saying like the client itself, but the idea of the client. Who is that? What kind of business are they? What revenue level are they at? How many employees do they have? You have to know that very intimately to be able to say that type of business can actually get the best of my service and it be worth it to them. And so then you can price accordingly, which is what we've done. And that helped us get the right margins that we needed to make in order to be able to provide everything that we wanted to include.
Okay. And are you charging per seat, per device, per network equipment, site? How are you doing that?
We're doing per seat.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're doing per seat. And that to us is just simpler, simpler to bill, simpler to figure out. And we're all about simplicity.
Okay.
Nice. And it's simple for the client to also be able to calculate. It's something that we've also trained our clients to know, it's cost of hiring an employee. So if you need to hire an employee, that means that your business is growing. Great. Now you can calculate the cost to retain that employee or to have that employee.
All right. Now moving over to the internal side. Mm-hmm. So obviously you had to pick a platform, whether it's RMM / PSA, all of that stuff. Are you comfortable talking about what you guys use?
Yeah.
All right. What are you using?
So I'm going to go back to the fact that we were talking about simplicity. And so really what we wanted to do was to get a single system. So we wanted a platform where everything would be attached and we could bring all these pieces together. And so we searched through all of them. I'm going to maybe I shouldn't say this.
No, say it. Say it, don't say it.
Okay, so we looked at all the platforms that, at least the major players, and ConnectWise was one of those, and I was like, nope, I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people out there that are ConnectWise shops, and they're good at what they do, but it looks like they're in 1986, and I'm like, no.
Really?
Come on, update the UI, please.
I've not looked at them, so I don't know. I mean, I when I settled on mine, I stopped looking. So,
yeah.
Is it really?
So that,
I mean, a
that
lot
was
of people...
my problem with it. But we decided to go with Kaseya. So we're a Kaseya firm, and we use a lot of their pieces.
Okay, so my buddy that owns an MSP down here, he went with Kaseya way back in like 2005. Mm-hmm. And he has stuck with him and he has loved it. And when I got started and made my transition, I went with SolarWinds. Mm-hmm. SolarWinds for me offered at the time, I can't say that now with 100% certainty, but at the time it was an easy entry in terms of price. I didn't have to commit to a certain number of endpoints. Mm-hmm. It was a pay as you go. I didn't have to pay so much up front or anything like that. And at the time, all I needed was something that gave me remote access, centralized mm-hmm. antivirus, centralized web protection, backup, which I can do all of that in SolarWinds. Now, I still have other things that I add, but I've heard that Kaseya pretty much is an all-in solution with everything.
Yeah, and so I'll tell you, we came from SolarWinds. Okay. So we were using SolarWinds for our RMM, and we were using a Repair Shopper for our PSA. So we combined those two, and we just gotten to a point where we needed a little bit more, and a little bit more integration, a little bit more out of the RMM itself. And so that's why we decided it was time to make that move. And we were also at a point where we could sign long-term agreements and we could sign, number of endpoints or a minimum amount of endpoints and get a good price. So it was definitely not a right away choice. It was a maturity aspect to the business. And so we got to a certain point and then it was like, okay, we can do that now.
All right. And if I remember correctly, do they have a hosted and then you can also host it yourself, right?
Yeah. Right.
Which one are you doing?
We just went with hosted.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't want to host it ourselves.
All right. And, okay, so full platform, PSA, RMM, and are you doing all of your stuff through there? You're doing your backups through there? What else? You do endpoint protection, all of that?
Everything's through them. We were trying to do everything as simple as possible, streamline as much as possible, and so it's the easiest thing to do.
All right. What about scripting? PowerShell?
PowerShell would be one, yeah. And then also using Kaseya itself to do a lot of the scripting for us.
Okay. Because that's one of those things where, so for the last 2 years, I've been this close to wanting to do scripting. Mm-hmm. And SolarWinds does it, but I think others do it better.
Yep.
So Kaseya is on my radar that if I start looking, talk about the scripting. So.
Yep.
All right. So in terms of stack, most of that is there. Now, what else do you consider as part of your stack in terms of maybe like infrastructure? Do you settle on a single firewall, UTM appliance? Do you, you know, settle on a standard for everything else?
Yes. And it, literally, it's if you really think about inside, outside, and customer service processes, for us, it's a streamlining everything as much as possible. That means having uniformity across our clients and what we use, and being able to so basically making things as easy as possible for our techs to also be able to fix an issue that may come up. So if you've got, you know, 3-4 different types of firewalls that you're working with, then it's like, well, which one do you have? And, you know, is it the same as this other one? Sonic walls are going to have different features in different places than Cisco. And so we kind of just brought it down to this is what we use. This is what our it's going to be in our client environments. And so just streamline it all.
All right. Sounds good. So I know I'm asking a lot of questions and I'm kind of digging in there. So why don't I give you an opportunity? So what would you like to like brag about or talk about that I haven't asked about, like, you know, something that's helping you win all these awards?
Well, I think we're on the money here. Cause ultimately, I mean, we won the efficiency award, and that was one that for us has, it's been a sense of pride because it's been something that we have been working on since the moment that we decided what, service offering we were going to have. And so everything that we do from there has been built around that and, trying to make that be as efficient as possible, because that's where you start hitting your margins. So even if costs can change, the efficiency that you have within your service, that's where you're going to start to be able to make more, essentially speaking, because it's going to give you a little bit more on those margins.
Okay. So with all of these awards and all of these things, and you're also, you're big on the circuit. You've been around for a while, and you've been on some of the podcasts as a guest that I've been on and, mm-hmm. and all of that. So how many people have approached you and said, hey, can you tell us what your secret sauce is?
I've had a few, and I've had a few offers to actually sell. And
really?
Yeah, and it's too early for me. I'm only 34. I've got some time to build and
don't want
to
retire early.
No, I don't. No, I tell my husband all the time, like, you can retire, but I will keep working. Wow. I'm gonna be like Justice Ginsburg. I will work until I die.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to work that long. Okay. So I mentioned that you were out on the podcast circuit being a guest and everything, but why don't we talk about the fact that you decided to do your own podcast?
Yes.
And
yes.
Folks, if you have not heard, the Business Plus Tech Equals Success podcast has been out here for a few weeks. You've got, 3 shows and publishing a 4th tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I think third one published today. Okay. And so 4th will be published next week.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the question I would ask anybody if we were out having a beer. Why?
Because I've actually really enjoyed just having conversations like this with other business owners. And for me, it was kind of putting all my passions together. I love business in particular. I love tech. It's, you know, the world that I'm in. And so if I could bring those two things together and help other people, which is something else I'm passionate about, then why not? And so that's how it came to be.
All right. So you had the little, you know, preview, and then your first full podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm I don't know how to ask this in a appropriate way, but why in the world would you have your spouse on as the very first guest?
Because he's amazing. Yeah, I couldn't have thought of anyone else. I just knew that he had to be the first guest, because he has so much to offer. And so I knew that we could get into the deeper conversations that I would want, a lot faster and more naturally, I would say.
Right. Well, I think when we were on the show before, we talked about the fact of working with your spouse, and you did it from the get-go.
Yes.
So I actually think it worked out really well, and being able to talk about how things were back then and the fact that you had shared experiences that you could, you know, you could chuckle about and say, man, was that interesting when we were just starting out. So I think it worked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a great partnership. I feel like, I don't know how else we would have done it. Quite honestly.
Yeah. And then your next guest was actually a client of yours, but from a different perspective on utilizing tech in your business the right way.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was a good show.
Yes. Oh, yes. For me, and I think that's part of what I'm wanting to, display within the show is different perspectives or different angles of technology within a business. Because it's, for us, it's not just, the repair aspect or the managing and maintaining it, but also, you know, how does a business owner see it? And if not everyone knows about different possibilities, then there's something out there that could be making their life easier that they won't know about. So having different perspectives is definitely helpful.
Right. So I think, what was her name? Tara?
Tara.
Tara. Mm-hmm. So she seemed to have a very good grasp on how much importance technology should play. Now, if I remember correctly, she had come from a business where technology was not, not a priority, and the business suffered. And so when she did she start her own business? Is that okay? So when she started her business, she said she made it a point that tech was going to be very much in the forefront of all the decisions. So that was very good that she talked about that, because so many business owners, administrators, office managers, tech is usually seen as a last resort line item.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I say that all the time. Like, it's hidden in the IT closet until something breaks. It's not thought of at all until something breaks, and that's not how it should be.
Right. So in your, how many shows do you have slotted out already?
I have 4 more slotted out, and I am currently looking for guests. So that's something that I'm currently working on top of, getting them out there.
Okay. Now, are all of the shows, or should I say the main focus of the show, to emphasize that side of the equation, not necessarily the tech side, but from a real business perspective, how do you utilize tech?
So I'm wanting to do, again, different perspectives. So it's going to be a little bit of both, if not all 3 sides, because I also want the side of success. So how those 2 aspects, or the 2, business plus tech, how will that equal success? What does that actually look like? And that kind of thing. So I'm trying to do all 3 angles.
All right. Well, I wish you good luck in that.
Thank you.
Welcome to the world of podcasting.
Thank you. It's fun. You're like, newbie.
Enjoy it while you can. It is great. It is fantastic. I don't know if you know this, but I just celebrated the 300th show of this podcast.
Wow. Congratulations on that.
I didn't do all 300, so that was part of why I could celebrate.
You're like, definitely need a beer.
But yeah, it's fun. It is work, but it's fun.
Yeah. And that's for sure. It is a lot of work.
All right. I had a note here. I was going to ask you, and I don't know if we can segue back into this in a gentle manner, but so when you were on my podcast with Don, we talked a little bit about diversity. And then you were on another panel where you talked about the business case for diversity.
Yep.
And I got bits and pieces of it. I wasn't able to watch it. I forget what happened and I didn't go back to it, but tell us a little bit about that experience and having that panel discussion.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting because it was talking about basically three different perspectives when it comes to why diversity is necessary in business. And the three perspectives were one from a larger company who has hired or has made it a point to have a diverse workforce and how that has helped them out. Two was on the education side and what is it going to take to hire a more diverse workforce. And then my perspective was the last one as a what I'm being called now is the industry unicorn and seeing all the different aspects of the diversity, boxes that I'm in. And what that has been like for me and why it might be different within my business and how I view the industry as a whole. So it was definitely pretty interesting.
All right. Yeah. So being a unicorn, being able to tick off multiple diversity boxes is something because, let's see, female business owner, Latin. Mm-hmm. Are there any others?
Millennial.
I don't know if that should be a box.
And an introvert.
Again, not really a box.
Not really a box. It's like in this industry, maybe not.
I was going to say, most techs are introverts. You'd be surprised how many people, you know, don't want to talk. You know, let me just fix the computer. I don't want to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Which when I was, when I had text and I was interviewing, that was a no-no. If I got that impression, sorry, you can't work here. You have to be able to talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the same rule. You have to be able to talk to people.
Yeah. All right. So what is, I guess, the single thing you can point to now? I know that when you started and your drive in your business is, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't seem like a single focus, but I wanted to ask you if you could put together like a single focus or a single goal that is driving your business, what would it be?
That's a good question. So a single goal that drives my business, I would have to say that it is, helping as many people as I possibly can. I would say that there's a lot of business owners out there that are, not necessarily dealing with the best experience. And so whether that be, I mean, that could be for multiple different reasons. And so if I can translate tech to them in a way that they can actually feel like they have some sort of power over it, that they can actually make certain decisions confidently, then that's what I want to do. And so that's the driving force behind wanting to grow our business.
All right. Very good answer.
Thank you.
I usually don't get great answers. They're all like, make enough money to pay the bills.
You know, I didn't grow up with everything that I have now. And so to me, money's not a driving force. Is it nice? Of course. that I could provide my kids with a life that I didn't have, but ultimately speaking, I could also be without it. It can go away and it's okay.
All right. That's a good perspective. I mean, I can say that too. It's like, you know, I know a lot of people that they live for, you know, to go on vacation and to have things and to drive the car. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, is that really what you're focused on? But they are. And I mean, who am I to judge, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just, for me, it's like, if I have it, great. If I don't, okay. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good either way.
All right. So I have to at least ask one more question about anything new on the tattoo front?
Oh, you know, I don't have any new ones. Sadly, I had put as a personal goal for myself, for any new client that I signed up, and maybe I said this the last time that I would
That's
get a new
I
tattoo.
Yep.
And so I have gotten new clients, but no new tattoos, just because of COVID and how things are, but I have a few lined up. So I can say that.
So like already designed, like what you're going to get and where?
Yeah. So there's one where I'll be adding another flower. And can you see that? For those that are live, they can see the flower.
Okay. Yeah.
My daughter drew that. And so I'll be adding that to my arm.
Now, is that going to be just, okay, I forget the term because there was a special term for the type of tattoo with colors or whatever. What, not just the black and white. What was?
Oh, no, just the colored sleeve.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll be adding it to that arm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, so the tattoo people that moved in next door?
Yeah.
Still not open?
No.
No.
Because of COVID or?
I don't know. And I don't want to ask.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, tattoo shops couldn't open for the longest time here. And I'm still wary. So I guess that's why I'm not going yet.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a big thing down here. I mean, they've had the space for, they've had the space almost 4 months. So unless they just don't have any customers yet, I can't imagine why they haven't opened.
Maybe licenses.
You know, I thought about that.
Could be licenses. They need a lot.
Really? I wanted to ask somebody, but I didn't know if you knew. So they do need a lot of licenses?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they need licenses with the health department and everything. So.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well. When they open, we'll find out. But I don't know them, and I don't want to become their computer guy. I just don't want clients that close.
You can just tell them that you don't do break fix for new clients.
That's true. Hey, listen, you're going to be $5,000 a month.
There you go.
We only have three computers. $5,000 is my minimum. That's the way to do it. All right. Okay. So anything else? If we hit all the questions, all the boxes, anything else you want to announce while we're here?
No. I mean, check out the podcast. I'd love to have some feedback on it. That would be great.
Okay.
Especially since, you know, I'm like, is it okay? I mean, I think it's great, but is it really helpful?
I think you'll get a lot of good feedback, and we'll talk off air.
Oh, thank you.
speaking of, did you see that Dawn wants to start a podcast?
Yes. Yes. She and I are chatting about it. So
really
coming soon.
Cause you know, my first thought was, why don't the two of you do it together?
I mean, that might not be a bad idea.
All right. I'll let you guys do your own thing and we'll just be surprised when it comes down. All right. So that, I think is going to do it. So folks, thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of Podnuts Pro with my new friend Nancy and fellow podcaster.
Yes.
All right. So that's going to do it, folks. So head over to podnuts.com to check out some of the other shows we've got. If you want to follow what we're doing here, you can check us out on YouTube and the Facebook. Just head over to those, search for Podnuts Pro, like the pages so that you'll be notified anytime we have a show, especially when we do a live show like this, and you can watch along and hear any great, wonderful news going up. So again, my guest, Nancy Sabino of Sabino Comp Tech, and her new podcast, Business Plus Tech Equals Success. Find it in your favorite podcatcher.
Yes.
All right. All right. On behalf of Nancy, I want to say thank you all for listening, watching, and remember, come on back for some more information on how to run your business better, smarter, and faster. And until next time, holla.
Bye.